Hanoi Public Media News. This is 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. It's Tuesday, July 2nd. Coming up, we'll learn more about recent research that suggests pasteurization may not be successful in killing the bird flu. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois reactions to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on presidential immunity fell along party lines. Alex Stegman reports.
The nation's high court ruled a president is immune from criminal prosecution if he's taking official executive actions. It'll be up to lower courts to decide what's considered official. Governor J.B. Pritzker reacted by calling former President Donald Trump a, quote, despotic narcissist who was not acting in his official capacity as he attempted to overturn the results of an election. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin said no one should be above the law, and this ruling could allow future presidents to break the law under the guise of official action. Republican Congresswoman Mary Miller, leading the Illinois delegation at this month's national convention, celebrated, saying the, quote, corrupt Biden DOJ case is falling apart. I'm Alex Degman.
Western Illinois University is letting go of 3,000 faculty members. Rich Egger reports.
In a written statement, the administration says, quote, in an ongoing commitment to achieving fiscal stability at Western Illinois University, 36 contracts for Unit B faculty have not been renewed, unquote. Unit B instructors are non-tenure track faculty. They were notified late last week. The university had 519 faculty members as of last fall. 286 of them were full-time tenured. During the Board of Trustees' quarterly meeting last month, Chairperson Karen Stutz said Western has exhausted its reserves. She said the administration must straighten out the financial situation. The board has delayed its search for the university's next president because of the school's finances. Rich Egger reporting.
Governor J.B. Pritzker is defending the state's choice to close aging prisons in Lincoln and Joliet. The Illinois Department of Corrections plans to rebuild the Logan Correctional Center in a women's prison in northern Illinois. Pritzker says the two prisons are over 100 years old and were built simply for punishment, not for inmate rehabilitation.
We're trying to keep people healthy in the facilities, not just the prisoners in them, but also the corrections officers that work there, and I think we can do that best by making the investment to replace them.
The Department of Corrections says a large number of inmates at Logan are from the Cook County area, so they would benefit from being closer to family. Peterson Healthcare's nearly 100 nursing homes will go up for auction this morning. The Peoria-based company filed for bankruptcy in March. A stalking horse bid of $118 million sets a price floor for the sale. The company could be sold off to one buyer, or more likely, in chunks to multiple buyers. Peterson Healthcare owes nearly $300 million to its creators. Still to come, we'll learn more about recent research that suggests pasteurization may not be successful in killing the 591 virus. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on The 21st Show, credit card companies are pushing back against Illinois' plan to block them from charging fees on taxes and tips. We'll talk about that, plus what two U.S. Supreme Court decisions on public corruption and the January 6th insurrection mean for Illinois defendants. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. The 591 virus, or bird flu, was found in cows for the first time ever this year. That caused concern that infected cows could mean the virus could have more opportunities to cross over into humans. It also raised concerns about milk safety. A couple of months ago, the FDA said that commercial milk is safe because the pasteurization process kills any living virus. Now, some scientists are saying there's evidence that pasteurization may not be as foolproof as we hope. Side Effects Public Media's community engagement specialist, Lizzie McGrevy, spoke with health reporter Ben Thorpe about the latest research.
So, Ben, can you start off by talking about a recent letter to the New England Journal of Medicine, which found that some virus could be surviving the pasteurization process? What is happening there?
Yeah, so I think it's important to underline up front that this is an experiment conducted in a laboratory setting. Scientists I spoke to about this letter said, hey, we don't know how replicable something like this is going to be outside of the lab. But the gist is this. Researchers spiked raw milk with high levels of H5N1 virus and then put it through two different pasteurization processes. One method involved heating up milk to 63 degrees Celsius for 30 minutes. The other method was just 15 seconds at 72 degrees Celsius. I do think it's also worth noting that according to the International Dairy Foods Association, that 15-second pasteurization process is the most common process.
Okay, Ben, I love to know about the science of pasteurization as much as the next gal, but why do we need to know the different methods of pasteurization?
Well, okay, what researchers found is that 15-second method still showed detectable levels of virus in milk. In fact, researchers say that there was still detectable virus up even to 20 seconds at 72 degrees. That means that there's a chance even after the pasteurization process, some live virus could be surviving. Okay, but again, and I'm putting every caveat in the book here, we don't know how those lab tests might translate into the real world. And I think it's also worth saying that the Food and Drug Administration has continued to affirm the safety of retail milk. The FDA sampled milk earlier this year, and while they did find evidence of H5N1 in retail milk, there was no live virus found.
Okay, love all the caveats, but that still sounds concerning to me. What's next?
So experts behind the letter say they want more research into H5N1 in dairy production. They want to see whether their experiments are replicable. There's so much that we don't know about this virus right now, including what dose could infect humans through drinking it. I spoke with Dr. Amish Adalja, a senior scholar at Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. He says he's not particularly worried about what researchers are seeing in a laboratory setting.
I think it's good information to have to understand the characteristics of pasteurization with this particular virus. But the bigger threat to me comes from unpasteurized milk.
More broadly, though, Adalja says there isn't enough being done to track the virus and understand how widespread infections of cows and people really are.
I don't believe that this strain of H5N1 is going to be the strain of avian influenza that causes a pandemic. However, it is a very good trial run that we're failing in.
One last thing. The FDA is trying to reduce the sale of raw milk. The department put out a letter earlier this month underlining that while the FDA does not approve the sale of raw milk for human consumption, some states do. Their message was basically, hey, help us communicate to people that during the midst of this outbreak is maybe not the time to be drinking raw milk. They also called on states that permit the sale of raw milk to use regulatory authorities to try and stop some of those sales, especially in areas where infected herds have been identified.
That was Side Effects Public Media's Lizzie McGrevy talking to health reporter Ben Thorpe. Side Effects is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 87 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alex Segman, Rich Egger, Eric Stock, Tim Shelley, and Ben Thorpe. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.